You're listening to Distraction Therapy. Conversations and sound walks at a time of change. With me, Rob Watson. Hello, it's Wednesday the 6th of October.
It is.
This is Distraction Therapy. With me, Rob Watson, and today I'm joined by
Hayley Thornton.
And Hayley Rogers.
Married now. I keep forgetting.
Well, I was going to ask you. You know, I don't even need to change all my stuff. Have you adopted a new name? So,
yeah.
And what we're doing today is we're just going to have a little walk and kind of talk about the heritage project that you worked on. Which direction do you want to go in? So.
Up onto New Walk and towards Vicky Park.
Okay, well, let's just describe where we are first of all, and then we can kind of put people where the starting point is the
Y on East Street. So we've got the YMCA part and also the Y Theatre. We're standing outside the Y Theatre part at the moment,
and this is just opposite.
Just opposite, you've got the train station just over there to our right. You've got the Premier Inn to our left. We're currently standing in the shade, but there's lovely sunshine across the road.
Okay, well, let's go and have a stroll, and we'll... So, give us a little bit of background about what the Heritage Project has been about and what you've been involved with.
So, I joined the Heritage Project last August. They've been running for 3 years. They got some extra funding from the COVID Relief Fund, which meant they could create my role and hire me, which is very good. And I work with them as the Heritage Activity Coordinator. So one of my colleagues, James, he works with the residents inside the Y, getting them involved in heritage, running workshops, taking them on trips and visits. And I basically do the same as him, but for external young people. So young people who are with Focus Charity, Big Mouth Forum, Leicester College, all that kind of stuff.
Cool. So I'm pointing the camera on us at the moment, but I'm going to turn it round because there's not really that much interest on this street to look
not really.
At. Well, it's like a 1980s office block and a car park. So
I think the police use that as a car park now.
Oh, right,
actually.
Okay. So let's just flip the camera around. Then, okay. There we go. So we can chat. We're pointing in this direction now.
Okay.
I hope that's kind of... Let me just make one more adjustment. I'll cut that bit out. Okay. So in front of us, we've got the NCP car park.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something like this. Is it heritage? Is it, you know, where do we stand with things that are like this? And
I suppose that's the thing that this job has really taught me. Like, when I came to this job, one of the first things I was asked to do was to think up some sort of heritage activities that we could get involved with. And I was thinking, you know, stately homes, castles, like that kind of thing. But then my team were talking to me and they were like, well, what about Leicester City Football Club? Like, there's heritage there. There's like, that's the thing that I've really, is she gonna go? Yeah. Oh, we're gonna go. Okay, thank
would
you.
Just help if you indicate, isn't it?
It would.
Now she's gone a different way.
So when you walk past something like the NCP car park and you think, well, does that count as heritage? I think that's what this job has shown me, that actually you can pretty much find heritage anywhere.
So it's all around us.
Yeah.
And I suppose it disappears. You know, the problem with heritage is it's like we keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And we keep building new things.
Yeah.
Do us a favour, just quickly, if you can flip your microphone so it's on the inside. That's it, that's perfect. So it's facing
like
more towards you.
There we go.
Just a double check.
I'll keep an eye on it.
So it, it keeps moving forward and there's... you're left with just kind of tracing. I think one of the things I've noticed about, you know, what's clear about Leicester is that if you'd have come here 30 years ago, it would be a really different place. It would be very industrial, lots of workshops. Now it's much more office-based and recreational.
Yeah, and like those factories have been turned into apartments and yeah, all that kind of stuff. Actually, when they, just before they started the Heritage Project to get their sort of funding for it and advertise what they wanted to do, they made a sort of black and white Charlie Chaplin-esque film to promote it. And in the film, one of the things they did, because obviously we're attached to the Y Theatre, which is the oldest theatre in Leicester, they had photos up on the screen of all the theatres that used to be in Leicester.
Yeah.
And then that would change to a photo of what those theatres are now, and like one of them completely demolished and it's a tower block. One of them is like a bank. So yeah, like you said, it's sort of, it is all around us, but it also disappears.
Your kind of, a, you know, lived impressions of that change in Leicester? How have you experienced that?
I've not actually been here that long. I'm from the southeast originally. I'm from Bishop Stortford in Hertfordshire. And I've only been in Leicester since 2017. So for me, I've not noticed... I don't want to say I've not noticed massive change, because there has been change. There's been, you know, like new buildings going up and all that kind of thing, and like all the changes they've done at Foss Park. Foss Park is even more ginormous now than it was before. Yeah.
What were your first impressions then in terms of, I mean, you might not have been looking specifically at Leicester as a, but it is, you know, there's a kind of a marketing push that it's a, you know, it's the heart of England. It's the mythical place of the birth, the death of King Lear.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Richard III, all that kind of stuff. And what was your abiding impression of, you know, what did you anticipate when somebody said, well, we're moving to Leicester?
Well, when I first came here, it was for a weekend to take part in the 1448 Theatre Festival, which is the world's quickest theatre festival. You do 14 plays in 48 hours. And that weekend was actually the weekend that Leicester won the cup.
Oh, okay, so baptism of fire.
My first experience of Leicester was just loud and celebratory. But then on the Sunday, when I got up to get the train home, it was deserted. It was like a ghost town. It was like when the
hangovers, I suppose.
Yeah, when you watch a zombie movie and there's like litter strewn across the street. Yeah, it was like lockdown. Yeah, exactly.
But what was your kind of impression of the, how was it prior your knowledge and awareness of what Leicester is, or, you know, what was it, what did it seem like from the outside prior to you coming? Did you have a sense that, oh, it's this place where the textile industry and the shoe industry was centred? It was, you know, for example, Coventry.
Mm.
We know Coventry's story about being bombed in the Second World War and reconstructed and that kind of thing. Whereas with Leicester, it's a bit less clear as to...
Yeah, I'd definitely say so. I mean, I don't think I knew a whole lot, really, about Leicester before I came. I knew where it was, I'd heard of it, but I didn't really know much of its history.
Have a strong story?
No, not really.
Yeah, well, that's fine, that's people's legitimate impression of it. I mean, I was much the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't have the romance, if you like, of some of the places, like, you know, I'm from Liverpool and... Yeah. You know, it's maybe an over-attachment sometimes with this romantic notion of identity with the city.
Yeah.
But it does have a strong story, and it does have a, you know, almost a mythological nature, whereas Leicester's a bit less able to explore that. So just before we kind of explore that in a bit more detail, where are we?
So we're on the New Walk at the moment. So we're just outside Soft Touch Arts, which is a sort of youth organisation, and we're coming up to the New Walk Museum as well, which has a dinosaur in it, which is quite fun.
There's really handy signs everywhere in Leicester, which is quite useful if you want to find. So I've found them invaluable when I've been doing sound walks.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling with something to think to say, well, this building was built in such and such a time. But actually, there's a heritage trail. Let's go and wander over to it for a second and just go and see if we can see what it says about the town museum.
Yeah, these are dotted all around the city, aren't they?
At the moment, they're refurbishing the columns. Yeah. At the front of the museum, you can still get into the museum. And so the town museum was designed in 1836 by Joseph Hansom, inventor of the horse-drawn cab. Now, I never knew that.
No, I didn't know that either.
And originally it was a school. So it's kind of transformed over its time. Fascinating.
I imagine it would have been a posh school.
I like that the set of stairs with the giraffe. Is that still in there? I'm not sure whether it's still there. I love those stairs. I'd be up and down those stairs all the time if they were still there. We'll have to try and find out where they are.
Yeah.
And there's also an attachment, you know, names are quite an important thing with Leicester because, it's De Montfort Street just a bit further up, and De Montfort Square and De Montfort Hall and now De Montfort University. And there's some controversy and examination of Simon de Montfort's, kind of anti-Semitic views and practices, which were very common at the time. And so how's it been finding out more about those things as you've been engaged in the project?
It's been really good. I feel like I've learned a lot of different things, and sort of when I first moved up here was around the time that they were putting in the Alice Hawkins statue as well. So through that, sort of found out more about Leicester's sort of textile history and its suffragette movement. So I'd say as much as the project is about engaging young people in heritage, I think it's definitely taught me a lot more as well.
So this is, we're just crossing, there's a bridge goes over what's called Waterloo Way, I think?
I think so.
So if you go that way in front of us, that way, you get to the Tigers Stadium.
Tigers Stadium, Attenborough Arts Centre to the left.
And University of Leicester's over that side. And then this other way, which will go up the steps.
You've got train stations.
You've got the train
there.
Stations. That's so you, in the distance, there's Leicester train station. So, and a remarkable day today. I didn't expect it to be so.
I know.
So yeah. Sunny. Yeah.
I'm pleased it is.
They're talking about you.
So the projects that you've worked on, what have they taught you? What have they?
So I suppose one of the main projects that I've worked on was the Digital Persona project, and that was all about bringing young people and heritage locations together, but adding a digital aspect to them. So although you're very much engaging with the heritage of the site, you're sort of bringing that heritage up to date so that it's more accessible for a wider audience. And that was when I started on the project, we were still sort of in a part lockdown, because obviously Leicester was kept in lockdown for a very long time. And we were still doing a lot of work from home stuff. So that digital project was the perfect one to start with, really, because it married all the elements together. And it was really successful. We had a great bunch of students involved from Leicester College. They all worked really hard, all the sites that they were put with. I think we worked with 7 different heritage sites. They all really enjoyed the experience. And I think it really helped with their understanding of how to engage with young people, because I think sometimes, well, it's sort of the way they're portrayed in the media, I suppose. People think that young people are always just grumpy and moody and standoffish. And if you're sort of a heritage site, you often have things for families with young children. But there's sort of an age that gets kind of missed.
Yeah, a gap in between.
Yeah, so to have them come in and sort of work with the sites and say, you know, well, I think this would work really well to attract a wider audience, and why don't we create this trail? It was a really successful project.
So this is De Montfort Square. As you can see, it's a kind of green space. New walk heads back down into the town centre that way. This is the Belmont House Hotel. And the road goes up to Victoria Park, and it takes us to where the old racecourse used to be in Leicester.
Was that Victoria Park?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was on the hill, and there was a pavilion there, which got demolished in the 1950s, I think. And then some of this information is starting to seep in.
Yeah.
But you need informed guides. Yeah. And that, you know, it's kind of, I profess my ignorance. And then the race park was moved further out towards Obi. So it was...
you learn something new every day.
St. Stephen's Church in front of us, which at the moment is probably in shadow because the sky is quite bright today. And the leaf colour is starting... You know, we've got that autumnal...
Yeah.
We'll walk up to the Oval and then we can kind of double back round.
Okay, cool.
We're only doing a short walk today. Next time we'll do a three-hour yeah. meander through the back streets of Leicester, and we'll bring a tour guide with us who can tell us all about the industrial heritage and why, you know, why things are laid out as they are. But it is fascinating how the story through a city is told through its streets. Mm. It's, you know, the pattern of the streets.
Yeah.
You know, we think about London very much in those ways.
Yeah.
And of course, Paris was, you know, in the 19th century was completely redesigned.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the guy who did it. It was very famous that they cleared a lot of the old town away and put in the boulevards. And here in the UK, we've never really done that. We've never take that kind of Parisian approach. What we've done is we've kind of... we've had ideas of what redevelopment is over different periods, some of which have been successful, some of which were swept away as they became unfashionable because they didn't know how to maintain them and look after them, which now would be incredibly valuable. So you know, things like you look at old photographs of Leicester and some of the areas, particularly around when they put the inner Ring Road in, St. Margaret's Way, is it? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
And, you know, that swept away a lot of the old streets, which now, you know, a lot of people are longing to have retained that.
Yeah.
Because the centre of the town has become much more of a focus for social activity and for, you know, kind of the nature of the town has changed. You don't go into town to work, you go into town to relax.
Yeah.
So you can trace the shift and change in the patterns of way people live through the multiple uses that buildings have, I suppose.
There's just streets and streets of terraces in Leicester, and it always, like, I'm always thinking, okay, well, who used to live here when they were originally built? What factory did this street belong to?
And it's when you look at them and you go, you know, the toilet used to be outside.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, how many? You know, my I'm in a terraced house and it's got three bedrooms, but one of those bedrooms is a, well, sorry, one of those rooms is a bathroom.
Yeah.
It's not three bedrooms, two bedrooms. One of those is a bathroom, whereas it would have been, it was built on the basis of it being a three bedrooms.
Yeah.
So where did you wash?
Yeah.
You know, at the kitchen sink, really. Yeah.
A tin bath in the kitchen.
It's, should we walk, which way do you want to walk? Should we walk down London Road?
Yeah, why not?
And go that way, and that gives us a nice circle, and gives us, I think we've got enough time to do this here.
Yeah.
So then the, yeah, and you think about those changes. What was interesting on my street, somebody was telling me about the, it was a guy who was replacing some windows on the street, and he said every couple of houses, they're different. They weren't built in one go.
No,
so all I've of the houses
this.
Weren't built at the same time.
Yeah.
As people got the money to pay for them, then they were built.
Yeah.
And they were built in batches of threes and fours.
Yeah.
So all of the things like the architraves, and if you look at along the street, all the just slight differences.
Yeah.
So you can't do a standardised
No.
Replacement of windows and things like that, because it's all different.
I don't know if it's true or not, but you know when you look at terrace houses and every few of them have got like a name above them? I heard that that's because they used to build them like just a few at a time, but they wouldn't name all the houses until the street, they wouldn't number, sorry, all the houses until the street was complete.
Right.
So they'd give those like two or three or four a name, and that's how you'd get your, that's how you'd get your post.
Now these houses are interesting because these were once family houses.
Yeah.
And now,
I imagine they would have been pretty grand originally.
Yeah, and they've been over the year, in more recent years they became, bed and breakfasts and apartments,
yeah,
and office
and
space, and it lost its kind of grandeur as a as a residential area. Just on this side of the road, on the other side of this is London Road, and just on the other side is Highfields, which is literally just a couple of minutes walk from the railway station. It goes up to the hill and goes into Evington. And Highfields is, if you look at the architecture there, it was quite a grand place at one point. This is used to be a bar that looks like it's being refurbished.
I didn't know that was gone.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's the thing, it's kind of, it tells the period of time.
Yeah.
That your favourite bars or nightclubs come and go.
Yeah.
And it finds a different use, and then it gets
It also shows how long it's been since I had a night out that I didn't know that place was gone.
You were trying to find it, book a table.
Yeah.
Why can't I book a table? They don't answer any of my calls. Yeah, they closed down 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, some cities you go to and there's cranes everywhere.
Yeah.
Leicester's not really one of those cities that's done that. Well, there's a few bits of building now. But they don't tend to be the kind of the very tall buildings that you get in Manchester. Because, the last time I went through Manchester, it seemed like they were shoving up tower blocks, hotels and apartments everywhere. Ooh, so I'm just looking at this. See I mean, one of the things with Leicester is it's known for its diversity of food places.
Yeah.
And, the Chinese, Korean, Japanese, Thai restaurants that are now in the city that are almost replacing a lot of the Indian restaurants now. And then there's the Turkish. And so that, you get a sense of the cultural life of the city through its food as well.
Yeah, very much so.
So London Road used to be things like estate agents and hair salons.
Yeah.
It's not, I wouldn't describe it as a destination high street.
No.
It's kind of, unfortunately, it's one of those roads, it's like Narborough Road where I, near where I live, which is a through road for the, so a lot of people travel through, so the traffic's quite heavy.
And that's what I always think about those cafes on Narborough Road. Like, is that an enjoyable place to sit and have a meal? Because it's such a busy road.
Yeah. And you know, the centre of design, you know, we've lived through a period since the 1960s where the focus of urban design has been the car and getting through places, where that shift is happening now. If, you know, you look at places like Barcelona and Birmingham have just announced that they're going to be doing, you know, they want the whole of the city centre to be a low traffic zone.
Oh, really?
Because they want to encourage life within walking distance.
Yeah.
You know, and amenities within neighbourhoods rather than it being purely about people getting from A to B, finding a place to park.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and one of the statistics that they use to promote the Birmingham plan is that less than 25% of journeys are less than a mile.
Wow.
And when if you took them out, if people felt confident about walking or about using public transport because it was cheap enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, Leicester, you know, the tram system used to run right the way through Leicester. And we don't have, you know, that was taken out in the 1960s. You can still find traces of it when they dig up the roads.
Yeah.
Certainly around the clock tower area, the remains of the tram lines are still there. So it's hidden away.
Yeah.
That's an interesting doorway. It's like a kind of, the styling is the original architrave or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Kind of 1930s. It's
very Art Deco.
Yeah, it's you'd think it would be a feature of the building, but it's kind of hidden behind a massive big street sign. And likewise with the front of John this shop, very 1930s, and this one as well. I've never noticed that before. One of the things in this country we've done is we've kind of given free rein to people to put signage, however big they want it, wherever they want.
Yeah.
It isn't modest. It doesn't need to be this big, but it overpowers the area.
Yeah.
And you lose sight of the building that's behind it and the character of the building. And what happens is you're just left with a huge, big neon sign that obliterates the detail that was there and the stuff that makes it feel different.
I always try and look up in Leicester. And, I mean, I'm notoriously bad for looking up when I walk anyway. I'm normally always watching the ground so I don't fall over. But I always try and look up in Leicester because the tops of buildings, like that one that we've just seen there, where it's all sort of Art Deco, the tops of the buildings in the city centre, some of them are really nice, and you just miss it because there's like massive neon signs, or you're looking at your feet or looking at your phone.
I've heard that said many times. Look up in Leicester, don't look down.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's difficult to look up because you're trying to avoid the broken pavements and it's not an easy place to be a pedestrian, Leicester.
No.
So there are areas which are being improved, but it's, you know, kind of generally it's a car city.
Yeah.
And the traffic is.
My dad, before he retired, was a lorry driver. And like him and mum will come up to visit, but he says Leicester is the only city that he can't quite get his head around, because there's so many roads and they're just, I don't know, they just don't seem to make any sense.
Yeah.
But I feel like once you've lived here and you've got used to it, then it's okay. Yeah, but I mean, I think I used a sat nav for about the first 6 months that I lived here,
Google
get around the city.
Just walk into the island so we can get a good shot of the station, and then we can cross back over on the other crossing.
I'm chipping in my black teeth, and nobody can stop me. I've lost my need for them. I went to Pistar. same dream. A prison and a crime scene. I would tell them everything. Even though it don't hurt anymore, the truth remains. You were an honest mistake.
Again, I kind of, Leicester's actually one of the worst served cities for rail transport.
Is it?
It's actually one of the lowest numbers of connections to other major cities.
Right.
Comparative to its size.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, surprising given we're on the main, you know, the Midlands main line.
Yeah.
And then things like, the, you know, the taxi rank, there's some plans to reconfigure the station so they move the taxi rank out of the covered part of the station and make that more into a kind of social space.
Right.
And that's the kind of, you know, it's the slow changes that are sometimes, for many people, aren't really perceptible.
Yeah.
It's just something that happens over time.
Yeah.
And if you're not coming into the city on a regular basis as a pedestrian and walking around, you kind of tend, and looking up, you tend not to notice them.
Yeah,
it tends to be... So, of course, in 5 years' time, all of these cars will be electric.
Yeah.
They'll be much quieter.
Yeah.
There won't be the acrid smell of petrol and diesel in the air, which is, I think, you know, during the lockdown, it was a pleasure to walk through Leicester because you didn't get that, that smell.
Yeah, I saw so much more wildlife during the lockdown. They were just braver, like... Even squirrels were brave enough to walk around the streets because there wasn't the traffic.
Can we cross? Yes, we can cross. Hard to look at the road and look at the camera at the same time. So, so let's swing the camera around for the last couple of minutes. Oops. Okay.
There we go.
So, how do you feel after your short walk?
It was lovely. Nice to be out in the sunshine.
Oops,
having a good chat.
Let's just do this again because my selfie stick's gone rubbish. Okay, I'll leave it like that. I'll hold my arm out. Okay. So let me ask you again. How did you feel about your walk?
Yeah, it's been really nice. It's been nice to be out in the sunshine, have a nice little chat. I learnt some facts as well. Like, I never knew where the race course used to be. So that was nice. I can tell people that. Fact of the day.
And in your working day, Do you have time to, you know, do you do meetings? Do you do walking meetings?
Not really. It was something that, because I work at the Y, so we have obviously residents here, it was something that some of the youth workers were starting to put into place where they'd go out and residents could join them if they wanted to, and they'd just go for a walk for 20 minutes, have a bit of a chat, have a catch up. But it's not something that we sort of do like regularly.
Maybe that's something that we can put, you can put in place.
Yeah.
On a more frequent basis, is rather than staying in the office.
Yeah.
You get out and walk the walk as well as talk the talk.
Yes.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
And do a heritage walk. So, okay. Well, thank you very much for coming out with us.
It's all right. Thanks for having me.
We'll do this again at some point because I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, that'd be
great. We'll learn more about, you know, we'll come armed with facts and figures and you'll plan a route and say, I really want to take you to this place because there's this really interesting building I've seen. And
yeah.
We just kind of, we'll bring a coffee with us next time as well.
Lovely. So. Mine's a hot chocolate.
Okay. Thank you very much. If you want to get a bit more information about distraction therapy, go to my website, which is robwatsonmedia.net. You can get in contact with me on Twitter or Instagram at Rob W Media. Do you want anybody to contact you? Maybe by the Y?
Yeah, so if you're interested in any of the things that we're doing at the Y, I am hthornton@leicesteryMCA.co.uk.
I'll put a link to that in the blog post as
Lovely.
Well, so it goes up. And until next time, thanks very much. You've been listening to Distraction Therapy with me, Rob Watson. Find out more at robwatsonmedia.net or follow me on Instagram and Twitter at robwmedia.